Have you ever felt like you have tried everything to get your life back after the service, but nothing truly fixes what's broken on the inside? The meds you're prescribed numb the pain, but also steal your soul. The therapy sessions feel like band-aids on wounds that need stitches. If so, you're not alone, and it's not your fault. What you want, though, is to wake up every day feeling alive, connected to your family, connected to your mission, your purpose, without the constant weight of whatever the trauma is that you're dealing with dragging you down. Today, Dr. Charlie Powell shares how a life-changing decision, and yes, a controversial one involving psychedelic medicine, helped him heal after nearly two decades of battling PTSD, chronic pain, and emotional isolation. If you've been searching for answers and feeling like you're running out of options, this conversation will give you a little bit of new hope, new tools, and maybe even a new path forward. But before we dive into this episode, make sure you're subscribed to the email newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. You'll get my five favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. I also want to take a moment to raise awareness for something deeply important to our community, the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. This organization is working to build a permanent national memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor the service members, families, and civilians impacted by the global war on terrorism. If you want to learn more or find out how you can support the mission, visit GWATMemorialFoundation.org. Now let's get into today's episode. Dr. Charlie Powell, welcome to the show. I'm really excited to have you here. Looking forward to this conversation, but thanks for taking the time to come on the show.
Oh man, thanks for having me. You know, I've been looking forward to this, and you see the back window of a truck here because we wanted to make sure we had good connection for this because I've been looking forward to talking to you too, bud.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The topic of that's coming up here for the listeners. You have this docuseries, Healing Heroes, and it's an incredible thing because you get to kind of follow the journey of some veterans, some first responders, kind of seeing what their experiences are dealing with the whole mental health system, I guess, dealing with PTSD, going from, you know, maybe diagnosis stage, working through different types of treatments that are available out there. And, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show and kind of talk about this, what was interesting to me is that, you know, there are a bunch of options out there. And when, you know, coming from a patient standpoint, when you go in to talk to the doctor about the different options that are available to you, gosh, you don't always know what is the right option, what's not the right option. Sometimes it's scary to be like, geez, if I, let's say maybe I try to use some of the medications that they're offering. Is that going to mess with me? Am I going to be, you know, a zombie after taking these medicines? I don't know what that reaction is. You know, I have no idea, but you kind of have to trust the doctor and say like, what do you think? And then they give you a recommendation and then you try something and maybe it works, maybe it doesn't. If it doesn't, you start to get frustrated and try something else. And, but the nice thing, the reason why I'm going on that, down that rabbit hole is when you have a series kind of like what you have put together, you get to see firsthand, like, what is it actually that this person is going through? And maybe you can find out that, yes, this is working for that person. Maybe it didn't work for that person, but you might say to yourself, hey, after seeing that, maybe that's what I've been missing and that's what I need. Right. And so that's what is drawing me to this is that there, it's kind of like backstage sneak peek look at some of these treatment options and the different people who are going through it. I know I've kind of rambled a little bit about what this series is. I'd love to hear from your words, share a little bit about the series, the docuseries and kind of what inspired the creation and kind of what came from it.
I would be glad to. And first of all, you know, I as a multi-boarded physician for 26 years, I will tell you that a lot of things we reveal on the show just weren't even known to me. I mean, I ran a large healthcare system. I trained constantly. And some of the modalities I utilized for my healing weren't there. So let me give you some background on how I got there. I joined the military when I was 19, when I went to a combat medic school in the Army. The day I graduated, Desert Shield became Desert Storm. And 19-year-old grows up real fast. I basically spent the next 16 years in the military, but had a great career. I mean, I loved being in. About 4 years into it, I transferred to the Navy because I got a scholarship for medical school after finishing up my undergrad, my off time, and on the GI Bill. It was wonderful. And then when I finished my training, then things started to heat up again in the Middle East, right? So I ended in 2005, right amidst of the Afghanistan conflict getting pretty hot. So, you know, it's interesting. I definitely left the military with some baggage, but I really didn't think anything of it. Probably about a year after I got out, I started noticing isolation. I started noticing irritability. I didn't like my job. And I was doing the same job I was doing in the military, kind of, but in a different atmosphere. You know, there's something that I call the final trauma when people leave the military, and that is just leaving. Yeah. Leaving that camaraderie, right? Leaving that that brotherhood, that sisterhood that you get on the outside, and what do you mean? I work till the job's done. No, it's 5-1. It's time to go home. There's no economy outside of a paycheck some days, and you feel like the odd person out. Yeah. So anyway,
it's a loss, really. Right?
It really is. It's a huge loss because we think we're wrong. I mean, I always had a lot of satisfaction whenever we were at duty stations of being the refugee Christmas, the refugee Thanksgiving, you know, those that couldn't afford to go home. And nobody hangs out from work. And I'm just like, what do you mean? Y'all don't want to hang out? No, you only come to a party? Okay. You know, but that camaraderie just isn't there. It's interesting. Just to, you know, yank the wheel real quick. I actually heard a great quote in December when I was at a gala for veterans benefit, and it was, PTSD and veterans wouldn't be half the issue it is if we just didn't leave the military. That's a profound statement if you think about it, right? You know, because you have the community you support. But anyway, so over the next couple of years after getting out, wound up back at the VA. I was originally diagnosed with depression, which isn't uncommon. You know, a lot of the symptoms are the same. Irritability, everything was pretty similar. Got tried on several different medications, had side effects to all of them, the zombie state. And if anybody that's listening to this has been through this knows what I'm talking about, at certain dosages, sexual side effects, mean everything, you name it. I had them. And we finally found a medication that worked, but unfortunately I couldn't sleep at night. So then came the sleeping pills, and then the sleeping pills caused a hangover. Then they switched to a different one, and it became a cascade. And I left the military with some bad nerve damage from an injury that caused what's called a neuropathy and neuropathic pain. And, you know, that medication stepped up over time as well. So after 18 years of being out and building a huge healthcare organization, which I based on a lot of military principles, a lot of military leadership and culture built around it. Wow, it was greatly successful. But finally, I sold it, I believe it'll be 3 years ago this June. And it was one of those things where I had everything you could have thought I ever wanted. Did very well in that sale. It was a huge organization. I had the cars, the house, the kids, the wife, the money. I was the most unhappy I'd ever been in my life. And the last several years had just been dark. Man, I'd come home after work and sometimes go straight to bed. And true, I was coming home 8 or 9 o'clock at night, or weekends, it was hard to get out of bed because I was catching up for the week and I was saving myself for work, just being a shell of myself, like a projection. But anyway, after all the years of being on those medications, multiple therapies, I mean, look, I am not knocking the great people at the VA because there are some really great people there that took good care. And I'm really kind of knocking the system a little bit, and I'm doing it with love, but then again, I'm not, because I had to live with it for 18 years. But I will tell you that I was pretty much to the point where I had to get off of the original medication that controlled my symptoms, because it was starting to cause a central nervous system tremor. And that tremor suddenly, about a year previous to that, it got it to where I couldn't operate anymore. So I was losing everything. So, I mean, you put any caffeine in me at that time, and I sounded like Katharine Hepburn. I mean, not Limpon. It was not great. And anybody that knows my reference just now just dated yourselves big time, right?
But anyway, the gray hairs just started sprouting even faster.
More, right? And so I my neurologist said, you got to come off of it. And I'm like, I hoped. It's one of the only things that reduced the night terrors to just once or twice a week. And my night terrors were coupled with sleep paralysis, which is not a good combination. Mm-hmm. And anyway, after all of this, I decided to stay on with the company that bought my organization for a year and helped with the transition, did my year and started opening my mind to other treatments. And a very good friend of mine who's no longer with us, he introduced two words to me that I did not think belonged in the same sentence, let alone together. And that was psychedelic medicine. I'm like, whoa, come on, dude. No. I'm from Western medicine, man. I've been doing this for 26 years. I have multiple boards. I know it don't. If it was anything good to it, we would have done it a long time ago, or pharma right. would have perfected it or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, right.
That's the ego that comes from Western medicine. And
sure.
And I say this with, again, all the love in the world back to my trade that I worked for, you know, over half my life doing, is that we think we've got the best when you have technology and when you've got front-end research and everything, but we shouldn't neglect some of the things that have been proven for hundreds of years beyond that. So I want to start off and give a little disclaimer, if you don't mind. And that is that not everybody needs the power of something like psychedelic medicine. I'm going to go into a little bit more, because for some of you listening to this, you might go, what? I mean, if you listen to any other big podcast out there talking about ibogaine, ayahuasca, psilocybin, you know it's out there and you hear the success stories. But not everybody needs it. Some people just need the stages of healing and to understand and learn how to neuroregulate themselves. And that's kind of how we kind of got to the show. And I'll jump forward to that in just a second. But back in August of 23, I went and did ibogaine. And I had to go to Mexico to do it. Of course, it's not legal in the U.S. It's legal in almost every other country in the world. But the U.S. and a few others, it's still considered Schedule 1, which is experimental narcotic. But it's not narcotic, it's psychedelic. But it's experimental. And so I was to the point, I remember... I talked to my wife and I said, I'm going to go do this. She goes, why? I said, I think you know why. Because we never talked about the struggles. And most people don't talk about the struggles.
Yeah.
It's the conversations that aren't had that probably need to be had. I didn't know she was awake during the majority of my events and just laying there real still. She didn't want me to feel bad for waking her up or disturbing her and feeling even worse about that. I didn't realize how common of a situation that is out there, where families just aren't talking about it. They don't want the veteran or the person suffering from PTSD to feel bad about causing any more problems. And the veteran doesn't want their family to know how screwed up they are. The person with PTSD doesn't want their family to know how screwed up they are. So they don't talk about it. Anyway, so I went in August 23.
They feel like a burden in those cases, right? They don't want to burden somebody else with those things, especially not a loved one, which... You know, it's
the last
not true,
thing you want to do is have anybody that looks at you in a positive light know just how broken you are.
Right.
And we hide. Because look, besides just the inner stigma, there's the stigma from the rest of the, you know, people out there, like, oh my God, he's got PTSD. And I remember I had a CEO that worked for me for a period of time until this one comment was made. And that CEO said, he was going out to visit one of my doctors who was very open about his situation with PTSD. And he goes, is he going to go postal on me? Yeah, he was fired soon after that. I was done. I tried to re-educate. Don't get me wrong. I just fire him. I do try to educate people. Like, come on, it's not like that. But no, that's just a mentality that can't be propagated, because that's why a lot of people don't go seek care. The stigma behind mental health, the stigma behind PTSD. It's viewed in Western society as something less than physical health, which is crazy when you think about it. What are we here for? In my opinion, experiences, good, bad, whatever, anything we can gain from, but just don't label them. But what is this body here for? It's here to get our mind around to have those experiences. So why aren't we giving some attention to that too, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, we wait till it breaks and then wonder why we have a problem. But anyway, so lo and behold, I went to a program that was very good. I prepared for 4 months to go into it. And I want to stress again to anybody out there that's considering this as a modality of healing, not everybody needs it, but if you choose it and it's right for you, it's only 20% of the solution at best. There's work before, there's work after. All the medicine does is help break some of the walls you build up around your traumas to expose the ones you may not realize or to help you process them, maybe a slightly different way. But if you don't have the tools to process them when you stir them back all up again, you're not going to do anybody any good. But anyway, so I had a profound response. It's a very personal response. It was a very personal story that my response was, in most people's opinion, legendary. I mean, I came home from that 10 days and my kids said, "Dad, even your eyes are smiling." My wife said I was the guy she met 29 years ago. Then 2 weeks later, she said, "Never mind. I thought I'd screwed up." And she said, "No, you're better than him. Like, this is the best version of you I've ever met." And that's when I did it all. I walked away from work. I walked away from my career. I walked away from the U.S. I moved out of the country to learn more about this, to dedicate why in the hell is it not in the U.S.? Why are we not studying it? Why is this something I began specifically curing 10 times more than U.S. treatment centers do opiate addiction? Why? Yeah. Right? I've got my theories, and I won't drop those on your show. I don't think that's fair. But what I will tell you, though, is that I knew more people needed to be at least aware, and not just psychedelic medicine. I want to stress that, but just the steps of healing, gratitude, forgiveness, loving yourself. And the things that we think are so very basic, no, super important. But I started seeing the benefits of things like cold plunges, right? And, you know, now we know the physiological effects of cold plunges on the body. We know it helps reset the central nervous system to get out of the fight or flight response constantly that we live in the triggered state when we have PTSD. We also learn we have control over our bodies, but I digress. A lot of other things, sound therapy, meditation, watsu. I mean, a lot of modalities I got exposed to in that treatment program that if it wasn't for the advice I received minutes before I hung up the phone with my counselor prior to going down, which was just say yes. What he meant was just say yes in your experience, because anything you experience is there for you to understand. Don't turn anything away. Let it happen. But I took that quite literal. Anything I was invited to in that place, you know, what's Qigong? Well, we reach up, we grab your chi, we put it in your heart. Well, your heart's not there, but you know what? I'm in. Let's go. And, you know, I experienced it. I enjoyed it. Some of it I kept, some of it I didn't. I decided what tools to carry home with me. But yeah. Lo and behold, I came home. It was a great experience. But I was very disturbed with the fact that we built and ran a huge medical complex, lots of physicians and lots of knowledge. I mean, I was constantly learning, and this was nowhere in anything that I had done. But yet, after nearly 2 decades of being on medications that were causing debilitating side effects for me and still at best were only partially treating me, and multiple therapies and group sessions and everything else, one dose, one sitting, a lot of work before, a lot of work after, I was off of everything and the best version of myself that everybody says ever existed. So what do you do about that? Well, you can sit there and just say, thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. And go. But I think we have kind of a responsibility. When we find a way out of that desert, we are responsible for reaching back through and try to pull some others through. And again, I'm not advocating psychedelic medicine for anybody. I'm telling you that's what I needed to heal. But an effective program, a multidisciplinary program is what's needed. So anyway, after going to several conferences, I remember I was at one where Governor Rick Perry and Senator Crenshaw from Texas were speaking and advocating Ibogaine research. I'm like, here's two lawmakers that are having to bury it on page 247, subparagraph, triple A, you know, whatever, and asking for $15 million out of this multi-billion dollar deal. And they got it still narrowed down to 10 for Ibogaine research. And it's still, anyway, it just got polluted. But I figured if these two guys, as influential as they are, what can I do? I don't want to be a provider anymore. But I decided on a whim, I'm going to make a TV show. Why not? Hey, why not? Look, I've grown up watching it since I was 2 years old, my face right into it, watching MASH and Marcus Welby. Oh my God, I'm really dated now. But, you know, it was, I know you can touch a lot of hearts that way. So right. I came up with the concept of Healing Heroes, No Mind Left Behind. And the scope there was to take, and what we've done is we took six of this nation's heroes, some of them veterans, some of them first responders, police officer and fire department. And we put them through a very similar program that I specifically designed for veterans and first responders in the stages that I felt like were better for them after reading everything I could get my hands on. And I figured, what better way? I could tell my story a million times.
Yeah.
But how much more impactful would it be to tell the story of six people, interview their inner circle and their family back in the States, and then bring them down, put my money where my mouth is, fund all of this myself with all this stuff I didn't have or didn't need anymore, help them and tell their stories, and then retell it and follow them over time. The 10 days that we had them down in Tulum, Mexico, that we did their treatment, these six individuals, if you took the top 10 days of my career over 26 years, they wouldn't have added up to one of those days. And I had 10 consecutive days of just watching a transformation of six absolute heroes that were amazing in every sense of what they went through. And all the while, a hurricane was barreling down upon us in Tulum, Mexico, but that told the story in the background. So anyway, the goal of all that was to tell the stories going forward, and they're miraculous stories. I mean, even the story about the making of the series, but I got a little surprise I get to bring out on your show, and that's that we decided about 3 weeks ago it's not going to be a series anymore. It's no longer a docu-series. It's going to be a movie. And we started the conversion for a release for November 11th of 2025 in theaters on Veterans Day, because we want to have the biggest impact possible. We can go to streaming later. We can do the series later. But the story behind these six, they really deserved a spot in the limelight. So sorry for the 15-minute answer, but that gets you caught up to speed.
No, I get it, and I appreciate the answer, because some of that backstory was really helpful, especially knowing about your history and your experiences, you know, the good and the bad experiences that you had to go through. Kind of makes sense, like why would somebody want to come up and you know, make a series like this or a movie or right. anything? And you know, as you're talking, it resonated a lot with me, because that's kind of part of what I like to do with this show, is share people's stories where, yes, they were hurting. They were in a bad place and they had to figure something out. And a lot of people who are listening or a lot of people who are listening are in this place, or they know somebody who's in this place and they want to get some sort of help, some sort of resolution. Like I was saying, when you go to the doctor and the doctor is giving you, you know, options for various treatments, you don't know what they are. You've never gone through these things. They might be scary. You don't know. You know, I remember when I first realized I needed some help after coming back from Afghanistan, I picked up the phone and called the vet center to make an appointment. And I had no idea what I was signing myself up for. I didn't know if I was going to be walking in and they're going to walk me right into a padded room with a straitjacket. I had no clue what it was. I mean, I had never gone to any sort of mental health anything ever. And so I didn't have any idea what I was getting myself into. And that was just talk therapy. And that to me was scary. And but I did it. I went in and figured out, by the way, it's not that scary. It's okay. You know, there's no padded rooms. I'm not getting locked away or anything like that. But, you know, part of what I like to do with this is share these stories that other people have, so that it kind of brings down some of those walls that you're kind of like what you were talking about with some of the medicine that you utilize to bring some of your own internal walls down. Absolutely. It kind of brings down some of those barriers so that people can kind of peek over and say, hey, geez, this might be something that sounds like it might work for me. Or even better, I didn't even realize that this type of thing existed. And so maybe if I go and try this, this might help. Because I thought before, I tried everything. And nothing seems to be working for me. Well, geez, I didn't know about this other option that's out there. And so let me go try that and see how that works. You know, and so all of those things to me are just super strong reasons to push this forward, to keep getting messages out there, telling stories, sharing experiences, those types of things. And that's what it sounds like you're doing with these six individuals who went through this type of treatment. And, you know, I don't know, I haven't seen everything, you know, it's, you know, to be determined on, you know, release dates and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I haven't had that sneak preview opportunity, but with the varied individuals, the varied experiences that they went through, the varied issues that they might be having, I'd imagine there was a varied response to the treatment, you know, probably largely positive, but I would imagine some more positive than others, you know? And so, you know, it gives you a little insight into like, what is this? What does this entail? You know, you mentioned, you know, something that I was unaware of. You said, you know, you went down to Mexico for 10 days. I didn't know if it was a day trip, if it was a weekend.
Right.
I didn't have any background on that prior to this. And so Sure. Like, there you go. That's just one more piece of the puzzle
Right. That,
you know, helps fill in those gaps. And, you know, there's a lot of disappointment, I think, here in the U.S. when it comes to these treatments. You know, I know you're mentioning Texas and the kind of things that they're going through down there, you know, to go through and push through some of these treatments that are not being pushed through on the federal level, but they're trying to do it on the state level. You know, I think it's definitely the time to look into these to see what kind of benefits they can get. And
I want to be clear on something too. Not only when I said earlier, it's not for everybody.
Yeah, sure.
I want to be very clear. This is not something you visit Shaman Jane down the street for, who's got some shrooms in her freezer, right?
Right.
This has to be trained professionals and great treatment centers that have great reputations and great backgrounds besides just them saying they have it.
Yeah.
I'll lift it up and just say this much. I've seen the absolute best that these medicines can do or these treatments can do, but I've also seen the worst.
Sure.
And folks, if you're considering what I went through at all, please find the best providers, because it can literally rip families apart if you find a bad one and put people in a worse position. So it's not to be played with. Please exhaust all of your treatments that you can do here and at home. And if you feel like that's what you got left, let me tell you something. The six people that were on the show, I didn't learn this till we did U.S. tour number two to go talk to all their families. Three of them thought something bad was going to happen to them down there. They barely knew me from Adam. Two of them thought they were going to have their organs harvested. One of them thought they were going to be sold into sex slavery. They were like, but they were so desperate, they didn't care.
Hmm.
They were willing to do that. I would just tell you that there's some great things out there that we in Western medicine should not think that we know it all.
Right.
And then, you know, if you do get the courage to go see your doctor and your doctor's telling you, hey, here's a treatment for you, here's what you can do, hey, that's great. But if it doesn't work, don't give up.
There's
multiple treatments. There's multiple things that can be done.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some things even your doctor doesn't know about. So don't give up.
That's
there are
right.
other things, but anyway, sorry, I derailed, so go ahead.
No, you're good, and I appreciate you bringing up that point, too, because like you said earlier, you know, the medicine that you went down there for, for those 10 days, that was only 20% of the treatment you're saying.
Yeah.
There's work that you need to do before. There's work that you need to do after, and if you're just going down to, you know, the guy down the street who's you know, selling it out of the trunk of his car or whatever, you know, whatever you might be getting,
right,
you're missing out on that 80% of the treatment. And also, who even knows what it is that you're actually getting dosage wise and things like that.
Exactly. You know, but it's also important to note too, though, it's a lot about what they're doing. Because when you bring down those walls that are protecting you, you're very influenceable.
Yeah.
And if you don't have good people guiding you and grounding you afterwards, I've seen things go bad.
Right. And so you don't want them, the people who you are with, to be influencing you to go in a direction that you don't want to go in. You
know, right.
You're going there for healing.
And even thinking they're doing the right thing, right? They think, oh, I've seen this done a few times. Like, it's not medicine where you watch one, do one, teach one. This is some in-depth stuff that requires a lot of training to it, right? But, yeah.
Yeah, it's like I'm not a doctor, but I watched ER once, and so I think I know, you know, enough to be able to do this you know, heart transplant or whatever, you know?
Here's my favorite sayings now. I'm not a doctor anymore, but I still play one on TV, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, right.
But let's try that. But yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, PTSD isn't just talked about, but I will tell you, I believe there's a lot of misdiagnosis out there.
Yeah.
If you think about, I've challenged my doctor since I've been back, because I said, what have you done? Why'd you do that to yourself? Why would you take such a risk? And it's real simple. That's all I had left, because I had everything else and I wasn't happy or at peace, and nothing else worked. But then I start asking him, I'm like, all right, let me ask you this. And is there anybody medical listening? I'd ask you this question. What process and the body breaks down with age or with infection or trauma or something that intervenes to cause depression? It's not. And you'd say, okay, well, then what does cause depression, anxiety, insomnia, mood disorders, whatever? Well, you know, stressors in life, divorce, you know, loss of a loved one, loss of job. And, you know, I'm like, right. Trauma in its own sense.
Right.
And it pretty much has a commonality. Now, do they meet the diagnosis of PTSD? Probably not. But I would argue and say that the majority of mental health issues we have in the U.S. or anywhere in the world, for the matter, are related to stress traumas or traumas. But here's a stat for you. 55% of Americans will experience a mental health issue at some point in their life. And you said this earlier. So that means either you or somebody you love is going to have an issue at some point in their life. And it may not have a certain label as the next one, but it's important that we start to look at this differently as a nation. I think it's important that we start focusing on mental health as a preventative and keeping the mind healthy. Yeah. And then also not being ashamed of, you know, talking about it when we get back. There's
right.
So many people that came home but didn't come home.
It came home as, you know, shells of themselves, and were not, you know, they weren't whole. They weren't the same person that they were before. I've heard this time and time again, talking to people that, you know, they came home and they said their spouse was like, you're not the same person that you were when you left, you know, 9 months ago, a year ago, whatever it was. And when you have somebody who is in that situation, what do they do? How do you find that person again? Where does that person go? What happens to that person? They're still in there, I would imagine. It's not like they just, you know, packed up and left, but you know, it's like they're a little kid who's scared and they're hiding under the covers so you don't see them, you know?
They're hiding behind a facade. They're projections of themselves. You know, what I would say first of all is that they hear it. We hear it. And we know when we hear that stuff. But I would also let everybody know you're not in a desert. You're not all alone. Yeah. If you looked at just military veterans with PTSD, here's how many of us there are. We could be the population of Phoenix and Philadelphia. Yeah. That's how many of us there are, guys, gals. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to ask for help. It's okay not to be okay. Because the fact is, we're all not okay. And we've been through some stuff that... another interesting thing, a lot of people associate PTSD with special forces. And I've heard people say, well, I didn't make it into the SEALs. I don't deserve that diagnosis. I'm like, oh, no. In fact, half the members that we had on the show, their traumas were from things you experience in everyday life. Mm-hmm. Rape, childhood trauma, childhood abuse. But all had a root somewhere in childhood. But, yeah, you know, I digress.
Well, so talking about childhood and where that very easily could be where a lot of people's source of their issues could be coming from, you know, like you said, it could be a rape, or it could be, you know, some other issue that they had, maybe a traumatic loss that they had of, you know, a parent or a sibling or something like that, where that's a trauma, right? And that's a big thing. You know, if you're 5, 6, 7 years old or something like that, and you're having to deal with that type of loss, that's pretty significant at a young age. And, you know, what does that do to your worldview when within the first 5 years of life, you've already lost someone who is really close to you? Are you just now expecting that everybody that you're close to is just eventually going to be gone? And, you know, why bother making any close connections with people, you know?
for your control freak, because you want to control the possibility you might lose anybody else,
That's true, too. Yeah. Lots of things like that. But I guess what my point is something that you touched on earlier, and you just briefly kind of glanced on it, but it's maybe even getting the stigma away of mental health and start teaching people at a young age how to cope with things that are stressful or traumatic or whatever, so that you don't end up going down this path.
So Keegan, who's one of the cast members, who was he was Army Corpsman.
Okay.
Wonderful guy. One of the best responses I've seen from the treatments. He actually said at the end of the recording in Tulum, Mexico, he goes, "Why aren't we teaching these things in schools?" Now, again, do not think this show's about the medicine. That's just one of the tools we had to use to help these men and women.
Yeah.
But we were teaching them core values, priorities. How do you fix your life? How do you identify your passions? We got down to the basics that we should have picked up in childhood, that some people did or didn't, and we gave them tools. So imagine this. I mean, if you want to go carve a masterpiece and you got your hands, you're probably not going to carve that stone too far. And what a trauma is defined by Levine, is something that caps at you too fast, too much, or too soon. And the too soon part means you just don't have the tools to process it. So the goal is to give the people the tools, have them re-experience it, and then reprocess it. You know, my definition of trauma is different. The Dr. Powell definition of trauma, and this will never make it any textbook, but it is things from our past that are tied to negative emotions that shouldn't be, that are occupying time in our present, the only thing that's real, and robbing us of our future. That's my definition of a trauma. And what's interesting for me, none of my traumas came, well, I thought a couple of them would come from war, but they didn't. Our, you know, deployments. Mine was a trauma surge when I worked as a trauma ER at a very major hospital. When you're at war, you kind of expect it's you against me, it's me or you, and hey, it is what it is. We all agreed to this. But that 6-year-old little girl who is a paraplegic and the rest of her family's dead from the drunk driver that hit them. Guess how many times that's seen every day? We have a nation that's played with stuff like that. When you have a country that matches so much and what we have experienced leaving the military, loss of community, and so for so many of us, loss of purpose, because they're in a new job role, making less money sometimes, loss of comfort. When you lose community and purpose, that is just the prime conditions to set you up for PTSD, in my opinion, or any mental health issue.
Yeah.
Well, do you see that happening in our country too? Think about what the pandemic did.
Yeah.
Think about the separation, the isolation. How many people even know their neighbors anymore?
Yeah.
Right? How many people love their job? Let's see a raise of hands, right?
Right.
I do, but I'm lucky. Anyway.
You know, and that's a good point that you bring up, is that, you know, a lot of times you'll see people, I'm just talking about my neighborhood right now. I'll see people who they're walking their dogs or they're going to get the mail or whatever. I don't know who they are, and you know, I'm just as guilty about of this as the next person. You know, I don't even know if they live here. They could just be, you know, taking a stroll in the neighborhood because they like the neighborhood. It's got, you know, nice parks and, you know, other things like that around. You know, I don't know. I don't know why they're here.
Or they could be casing my house.
They could be doing that too. That's the other possibility. And then you know, Army brain turns on and I start, you know, head on a swivel. I'm looking, where's your buddies? You know, what's going on? You know, so I think there's a lot of pieces here that we can kind of take a look at, but you're right. I think that sense of community and sense of purpose are really huge. And I've heard that time and again from people who struggled with their transition out of the military, that purpose and community, that the camaraderie that you lose after leaving the military, the sense of purpose. I mean, being in the military, that's a pretty damn big purpose. You're serving and protecting your country, right? That's pretty damn big. When you get out and you're pushing papers at a, you know,
right,
whatever company. Who or gives some a damn about that shit?
Fortune 400 company that you're going to see some Christmas bonus of $50, right?
Yeah, right.
I would tell you this too, though. When you look at that loss of community, it's interesting. It's a bigger piece than we know. It really is. I can't even go into a full explanation of it all, but I'll just leave it at that, because I'll do a dissertation for an hour on loss of community.
Yeah.
But it's a huge—
that could be a whole other episode, maybe another time.
Another time, another place, right?
Yeah, right. But yeah, for sure. So community, purpose, and then, you know, the isolation piece is big too. There's so many things that go into it. But, you know, if we can address these things, I think, beforehand, before they become an issue, so we know how to deal with these things.
Yeah.
Gosh, a better place this would be. It would set us up for.
Teach our kids the tools of managing, how to manage your emotions, how to manage, the things that come in front of you, how to look at life a little bit differently, right? We don't teach emotional intelligence.
No.
Unfortunately, we just have to learn it by experience and hope we're lucky enough to get some material on it that crosses our paths. But we don't teach emotional intelligence. We don't teach EQ in our schools. I think that's a big problem. But we don't give our tool. We're not giving our population the tools they need to heal. And that's a big part of what the docuseries now movie is about. It's about teaching those tools and, like, hey, don't knock it till you try it.
Yeah.
And I was not a believer either. And look at this guy. And look, you don't get more abnormal and crazy than this guy sitting right here as a 54-year-old retired U.S. physician who made it in private equity and big world and in corporate world and decided to walk away from it all. I would do it all over again and again for what I'm into now. This has just been a lot of fun bringing this to the forefront.
Well, and I think another key point there, just to kind of tie this up a little bit, is that sometimes it's about the journey that you go through.
Yes.
To, like, you can appreciate what you have now because you've gone through the swamps and the nastiness and the muck to get there. And you can now appreciate the good things that you have, the good things that you're doing, the stuff that's on the other side of that swamp, if you will, you know, so that you can look back and be grateful. That's another piece of it probably too, that people are missing is gratitude and
big time.
And just being able to, just appreciate the struggle that you went through.
Appreciate
and knowing
what you
that
have in the present, not what you lost in the past or what you don't have in the future. Right.
Right. Sure.
But no, that's a huge part of it. And what I would tell everybody out there is just be aware of that. Be aware that there are other modalities out there.
Absolutely. And that's one of the purposes of this show, getting out the information for folks so that they know about it. I mean, obviously these things have been talked about on other shows, other platforms, things like that. People have heard of these things, but how do they work? What do they do? What are the experiences like? You know, showing people like you're doing who've gone through it, been there, done that, and this is the before, this is the during, this is the after. Talking to the families, talking to the individuals themselves, getting to know those details, I think it's really important, which is why I kind of want to shine a light on the work that you're doing, and hopefully this is something that helps a lot of people, down the line. So, I really do want to thank you for, all the work that you're doing and all the stuff that you guys are up to. And, when this is out in the theaters, we'll get a chance to take a look at it. And, I'm really looking forward to it. But thank you again for your work and helping to spread awareness for the various, modalities that are out there and encouraging people not to give up. I think it's
I appreciate that. And I encourage everybody, this November when the movie hits Healing Heroes, No Mind Left Behind, please check it out, because it's not just about these six. It's about you picking one of the six you might identify with more than another. It's about learning that traumas don't have a hold of us. We're holding on to them. Mm-hmm. And I would challenge anybody out there, my final words to close this up real quick and just simply say that think about some of the best lessons you've learned in life, some of the biggest steps or advancement you've made in life.
Yeah.
And I'd be willing to bet it came with some hardship. So if you are suffering and you've dealt with some major hardship to get where you are right now, imagine how big the blessings could be too once you can convert that. So keep up the fight.
Absolutely. Keep up the fight. I love it. And thank you again. Looking forward to checking out the film when it comes out.
Hey, man. So, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And thank you for what you do, as we need more people that are there caring about the community and bringing the glue of veterans and everybody back together.
Excellent. Thanks again.